And good morning, good morning, good morning. It is time now for our Community Connection right here on the K1, the one you trust. We call this portion Capital Call, and it's brought to you by our good friends at Phillips 66. How you doing, Senator?
I am happy and great to be back in Bartlesville. I left the Capitol yesterday after the press conference at which they announced the budget agreement. Went to Foyle, Oklahoma for a town meeting.
Uh-huh.
Spent a couple hours there, and just outside of Nowat on Highway 60, I blew a tire.
Oh, no!
And so, first it's interesting, they asked me, are you safe? And I thought, I'm in the middle of Senate District 29 on Highway 60. I think I'm okay.
You're doing all right. You're with friendly folks.
And I was going to talk to Rotary this morning. So for the next over an hour that I waited for help and got help and it's all fine, I made all my notes. So I've got lots of notes today because I had time to kill there on the highway. And I want to thank Crossing Second. Went to Rotary today. They meet there. And Sharon, thank you for the kolache and the cinnamon roll. I hadn't eaten dinner yesterday.
Oh.
I'm a happy person this morning. I'm home. I'm well fed. I've been with good people already this morning. Good people last night. Tom, I'm here at the radio station, and there's no better place to be than Bartlesville Radio.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. But a lot going on. It's crunch time. Budget, everything. I mean, everything kind of hitting it all at once. Am I correct?
You can either describe it as a log jam that suddenly gets cleared, or a little bit like you're waiting on one domino to fall. And I think it's a little bit of both, but maybe more the domino scenario this time.
Okay.
But the budget now, and as I told you before we went on air, they signed an MOU before they brought the budget to the caucuses.
Mm-hmm.
The governor, the speaker, and the pro tem had signed an agreement.
Okay.
So, because, you know, people like to play with things even at the 11th hour.
Oh, yeah.
And they had had, we had had some difficulty getting to this one. It was all happy for the longest time. But then you get down to, you know, the final weeks, and you find out what people really want and really are going to leverage to get what they want and what they're absolutely opposed to. But maybe if I do get this piece over here, So that's just the way it works. Anyway, I just have to tell you, we are so blessed to be in this state.
Mm-hmm.
Before going into the pandemic, we were ranked in Rich States, Poor States, put out by the American Legislative Exchange Council.
Mm-hmm.
We were ranked 8th in economic potential based on 15 policy metrics that they look at.
Mm-hmm.
They just put out the 2021 report yesterday. We're 3. We're like at 22, 23 where our economy and where Oklahoma actually stands in comparison to it. But we are just below Florida and I think Georgia in potential. That, I'll say, maybe a tiny, tiny bit has to do with your legislature, has a lot to do with your governor, and has a huge amount to do with the people of the state of Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in spite of the inflation that is here and the bad policies, in my opinion, that are being implemented in Washington, D.C., we should be able to hold our own. We need to stick together as a state. We need to keep plowing ahead. And you need to be very, very grateful that I'm not allowed to print money. That our Constitution says that by the end of May each year, you will have a budget and you will not deficit spend. We are going to save after restoring all the cuts from last year, which amounted to about 2% or so for most all agencies, 2% or so for education, and a little over 4% for everybody else. We're going to restore those cuts. We're going to increase education some. We're going to get some good policy in return for these numbers. We're still going to save somewhere north of $700 or $800 million. Put half of it in the rainy day fund, and put half of it, hold it for cash flow, in case we start being affected by what's happening to the economy nationwide. So all in all, a budget of $8,290,645,000, which is 7.62% above last year. But last year we only appropriated 75% of what we were allowed. We did the right thing last year.
With COVID, you bet.
Absolutely. So I couldn't be happier to be a part of a legislature and working with this executive branch than to produce this budget. We agreed to pay for Medicaid expansion, by the gradual increase of the shop tax. Mm-hmm. I can't describe that tax very well for you today because I don't have it in front of me. But you tax providers, and then you use that money to match your federal money to pay for the cost of this increased health care for this new population.
Mm-hmm.
The Senate wanted that. The House wanted to use one-time money and wait a couple of years and then see. We said, no, we need to know right now how we're going to fund it into the future. So that was a huge one for us. There's a film and music tax credit rebate program that is being rewritten. Would be different from the one that Killers of the Flower Moon is operating mm-hmm. under today. Would be more Oklahoma-focused and based. I don't know the details of that yet. At one point, it was $50 million. Then it was $20 million. Maybe it's $25 million. I can't express an opinion one way or the other about how I'll vote till I read it. But it'll be a significant departure from the program we have now. And it's one that the pro tem and the executive branch really wants. We are going to increase the cap allowed on the Opportunity Scholarship Program in Oklahoma and the cap allowed on the public education grant side of that program. You make a donation to a certain organization and say, I want my donation to go towards a scholarship for a child at Wesleyan Christian School.
Mm-hmm.
Or I make a donation to the Bartlesville Public School Foundation and say, here's my donation. I want it to go for this or whatever you want to spend it on.
Mm-hmm.
I get a partial tax credit for that donation, an incentive to do something good for a child or for a school district. But once it hits the cap, you no longer get the whole tax credit. They start prorating it. Well, the scholarship program's been very popular and has pushed its cap. The public education grant side hasn't reached its cap because it's not as well known and public schools haven't been taking advantage of it. But we are going to increase the cap on both of those. Did I break the system? Okay. to $25 million each. And this will be huge for public schools and for this scholarship program
mm-hmm.
that benefits private, parochial, independent schools. Paths to Independence in Bartlesville benefits from this program. So that was a good policy piece that we got in return for increasing public education spending, mm-hmm. which is now going to be $3.2 billion total. More for textbooks, more for reading sufficiency, more for mental health education and addressing those issues. I don't have the specifics on the education budget in front of me. So anyway, just to say that I've come home in an awfully good mood about the budget, the policy. They're in session today because mm-hmm. they're now running the appropriation bills through these committees, so that we can get them to the floor Monday and Tuesday of next week, mm-hmm. so we can get them to the governor, so that if for some unforeseen reason, not going to happen, he would want to veto anything, we would be there long enough to override a veto if we needed to. And then all of us still have bills we're working on.
Mm-hmm.
I have five bills that went to conference. I will not explain that medieval system to you today, but needless to say that you sit there going, will I ever see my bill again? And yesterday, all five of mine popped up onto the internet that says you are now allowed to take this bill to the floor and vote it into law. So I'll get those taken care of this week. And a lot of us are sitting around talking about how did the session go and what do we want to do next year.
Yes.
Some of us, you know, what did we leave on the side? What did we learn? So it's really a quiet time for legislators, but a lot more sitting in each other's offices, kicking ideas around, problems that we encounter. Anyway, you can see that I can come on radio and fill dead air, Tom. So would you like to talk for a while or ask me questions?
Well, you came fully loaded, like you said. You know, when you had that flat tire, you had nothing but time on your hands. And by golly, you filled that time.
That's right. I listened to you guys a little bit, but mainly I turned on the classical music on my iPad and sat there and did this. And the longer the list got, because when the tire first blew, I was not happy.
Okay.
And it had been a long day.
Yeah.
And I sat there and thought, I don't know what I'm going to talk about at Rotary tomorrow. I have nothing. And the longer I sat there, I realized it was quite a list. So that's kind of where we are right now.
Senator Daniels is with us, and this is, of course, Capital Call, and it's powered by Phillips 66. Representatives Strom and Stearman are in committee today.
That's
correct. They're working hard.
They serve in the House. Everybody's on the joint committee for appropriations and budget in the House, in the Senate. We're appointed that committee. I served on it before. I'm not on it now. And so to make a quorum today, to have session, to have committee, they didn't need me because all the people that live around the urban area are willing to come in.
Sure.
So I was allowed to come on home.
Five bills. Five bills that have your name on it. What are we looking at here?
Okay. Two of them are limiting chemical abortions in Oklahoma, have become more important in the last couple of weeks because, indeed, the Biden administration is bowing to the pressure of the abortion industry, and they are going to remove the regulations that safeguarded the use of these products. In fact, I'm afraid that they're going to put into effect being able to have these abortion-inducing drugs mailed to you and not have to go see a doctor to get it and not be monitored in any way. And not have a follow-up visit and not check you before you are issued these drugs to make sure that there are certain conditions under which you shouldn't have them. It is a horrible, horrible thing for women's health. So it's important that states get these regulations in place. We'll probably be challenged in court. But those two, then I've got a couple of workers' compensation bills that has to do with the court of existing claims and who can testify in a workers' comp hearing. And then, hello, hello, what's the fifth one? It's important. They're all important. But that one has just slipped my mind.
But that's fine. That's a lot going on there.
Oh, no. Athlete Agent Act.
There you go.
You sports fans out there will be interested in this. Uniform Athlete Agent Act comes to judiciary. I was the author. We rehauled the whole thing to bring it up to date. But in the meantime, the issue of name, image, and NIL, name, image, and logo, I think it was. This is a thing where college athletes can now profit from their name, image, and logo while they're playing college sports in limited circumstances. The federal government needs to act and standardize this. The NCAA needs to act. Neither have acted. So states like California and Alabama have already passed legislation allowing and setting up the parameters for the ability for a college athlete to profit. These go into effect in July in these states. You could have athletes transfer to another university or another state because they would now have that opportunity that Oklahoma does not. So we are putting an emergency on this. The language was suggested by the NCAA. I worked closely with OU and OSU. I know Kansas has just passed this. So at the 11th hour, we rewrote the Athlete Agent Act, not me personally. Fortunately, it was written by a Senate staffer who loves OU football, and she said, don't tell anybody, but this is my priority bill. Now, she had finished the other bills we were working on, but we're going to get that done so that come July, we will have name, image, logo regulations in place so that that will be allowed in Oklahoma.
Very good. Recently, you and I, every now and then, will get on a tangent about McGirt. And recently, the Secretary of the Interior has just approved a constitution with the Cherokee Indians, and that was kind of separate from all this. But I do believe we have a congressman, Tom
Cole.
Yeah, he is putting forth a bill that will allow the Cherokee and Choctaw to compact with the other entities here in the state so that we can take care of this jurisdictional problem to a degree.
Yes, I haven't seen the language yet. It may not be available to be seen yet. The last time Representative Cole spoke to our caucus, which was just about a month ago, he did not hint at this legislation. But it's evident to everybody that we cannot continue down this path.
Even to the two tribes, they said, hey, we've got to come up with something here that works.
And I believe it's the Chickasaw and the Cherokee.
They are.
And I'm not sure that the language of the bill wouldn't also be open to other tribes who want to do this. But, yes, I'm pleased that the Cherokee and the Chickasaw have said they are amenable to looking at it. It's not the same thing as they're going to buy into it. And, of course, we will need Governor Stitt and our Attorney General to be part of the discussion of that language. But that's a hopeful sign. And I don't know how far it will go in, you know, duplicate jurisdiction or cross jurisdiction or the tribes compacting. We want to hand this particular responsibility back to the state where it was for 100 years. But it's a hopeful sign. But what we still need to challenge now those that are trying to apply the Major Crimes Act that was the subject of McGirt to regulation and taxation and property. We need to find a case, and actively looking for one, to fast track to the Supreme Court in hopes that they will limit, they will say, our decision was about the 1885 Major Crimes Act, and that's all. Or maybe say, we are going to carve out that if you're an Indian victim of a non-Indian perpetrator, you're not covered by McGirt. We had recently a lady in, I think it was Tulsa, car stolen, something like that, couldn't get her property back because now, because she's Indian, but the perpetrator was non-Indian, so her case is now in the federal courts, she can't get her property back, and she actually said, I'm not sure if I want to enroll my son as a member of the tribe if when he becomes a victim of a crime, he's actually in a worse situation than an Oklahoman who's not a member of a tribe. So, lots of unintended consequences of this decision. It's going to be with us for a very long time, but thank you for asking. That's a hopeful sign, Tom.
All righty, we're down to our last minute here. Senator, wrap it up, put a bow on it. What you got to say?
Well, let's see. We've passed all the redistricting bills. The House and the Senate have passed each other's. We only had one no vote in each chamber. That means that the minority party, by and large, was supportive of the process and the product of redistricting. We're going to be finishing up bills, really, with the press conference yesterday announcing the agreement. We can all see the light at the end of the tunnel. I don't know if we will get out before the end of May. Some people hope that we'll get out at the end of next week. But again, I don't think so. We'll need to be there in case there's a hiccup.
Understood.
Along the way. But thanks for having me today. I know I just... But
that's okay. That's okay. Yeah, you came in with a lot of energy. I'm glad we can help you burn it off.
I'm going to take a nap now, Tom.
All right. Thank you. You've been listening to Capital Call.